Welcome back to episode 2 of Coffee with the Johns. If this is your first time joining us, we take this time every Friday morning, 9 a.m., get some coffee. Mr. John Bars probably has some little Irish coffee. You know, it is Friday. It's been a long week. And we cover the news, all the things that have been going on in the market, you know, news that's related to the economy, to the housing market, things that are going to affect you and your business. So again, if you're new, consider subscribing and share this with your friends. Share this with everybody, because we definitely put out a lot of useful information and stuff that's going on that's going to be very helpful for you and your business. So, Mr. John, welcome. How's it going, sir?
Good morning. Where's your coffee? You got your coffee?
Yes, sir. Oh, good cheers. Cheers. Coffee cheers. Yeah. Haven't done that. Okay, this one's still hot.
It's always hot. No matter how many times you grab your cup and take a sip out of it, you're always like, oh, that's really
like
hot.
These like, tumblers work, right?
Yeah, that's why you take a little off so it can cool
and
off.
A good tip for you guys, never put coconut oil in your coffee because it forms a nice little layer on top of the coffee and it keeps it piping hot underneath. So you're going to take a little sip, you're not going to see any steam coming off, and then you burn the crap out of your lips. So, true story. Fun lesson.
I watched it. It was hilarious. It was just a, oh my God, it's hot. It was great.
Miss Molly Hernandez is ready. All right, Miss Molly. So,
does she have Parker with her? With her?
Do you have Parker with you? She said no. She traded him for a squirrel. Squirrels
that's,
are good.
That's rude.
It's good food. So, topics for today. We're going to talk about businesses that are struggling, especially in San Antonio, but this kind of does relate to a lot of Texas. We're going to be talking about Tesla and what the hell is going on with Tesla. We're going to give you a little bit of updates on the stuff that we spoke about last week. There's the bans on eviction, a New York Times article, and a lot of good stuff, as well as if you guys have any questions regarding real estate, any deals maybe that you're working on, any marketing questions, whatever you have, put them in the chat below and we'll make sure to get to them and provide you guys with the most value that we can possibly do. So with that being said, the first thing I wanted to cover was U-Haul, the employee of the month. So why is important that we cover the employee of the month for U-Haul? Is because
it's the greatest salesman in history.
Yeah, yeah.
Works for U-Haul. Doesn't work for U-Haul, I guess.
Well, we'll cover that. But the why it's important is because we're all businessmen and women or unidentified individuals. And sales is a part of every business. Even you do operations, but you still have to be good at sale. You got to sell yourself to the contractors, to, you know, when you're dealing with agents. A bunch of things. Sales is a part of it. So learning from people that are really good at sales is crucial for any business. So that's why we want to cover this. It's very serious. So let's kind of get into it. So who is this ultimate salesperson and the best marketer in the world? And,
the greatest salesman, the best employee, the best salesman for U-Haul is the governor of California, Gavin Newsom. He has successfully made the one-way rate to go from California to Texas, California to Vegas, and that you can, it's basically supply and demand. They are trying to incentivize getting trucks to these places so people can move, and you can judge that based on prices. It's something that a mentor guru that I followed a long time ago, and back when I first got into this, said, you want to know where people are moving? Pretty simple. Just look at the U-Haul rates and see what rates they're actually charging for where people are moving. So back in 2008, you could see the exodus from cities like Detroit moving to Texas or moving to Florida or moving to Arizona. The rates were drastically different. But we're listening to one of the podcasts we listen to a lot. And the rate to leave San Francisco to move to Las Vegas, a one-way trip, I want to say this, it was like 4,000 something, mm-hmm. 4,000 and change to rent a 26-foot U-Haul truck from San Francisco, California to Las Vegas. If you're moving from Las Vegas to San Francisco, it was $183 or something like that to move the opposite direction. So you're talking like almost like a 40 times multiplier of where people are moving. Because, I mean, I think a lot of this is driving is like the homelessness. And I mean, this isn't to get political or anything like that, but it's just like what's driving this. And basically, it's people leaving California, because I'm looking at it here. The rates from Los Angeles to here in Texas, Los Angeles to Houston, it costs you $39.65. But if you're going from Houston to Los Angeles, it's only $9.67. So there's a big discrepancy of where people are moving and where they're going. So that was just something I thought was funny, because I was like, man, why are they talking about U-Haul and the best salesman for U-Haul? And then when they worded it that way, I was like, oh, I see where they went.
That's why I always like to say, you know, that they have the, we're getting a lot of refugees from California, New York. But that's hilarious that the governor of California has been considered the number best one salesman. Why is this important? And it's not to get into politics, but it's like we talk about, right? Every time politicians try to do things for the economy, for the people, because they know better, they end up screwing everything up for businesses, for people, for everybody. And this is why people are leaving. I mean, people sleeping in parks in California is beyond ridiculous. How many people are homeless tents?
It happens here in Texas as well, because I know...
Where is it? In Austin.
Austin.
Right? Because yes, they're trying to California Austin.
And I remember when I moved here in 2012, 13, like we go up to Austin all the time and hang out. And then now I drove through Austin one day and I was just like, I do not remember that many overpasses having homeless camps built underneath it and the trash that was piling up. And one of the investors we know out of Austin, he just said, I'm done with Austin. Actually, several people we know that used to live in Austin are just like, I'm done. We're out. We're heading out, because they passed a moratorium that a homeless person can camp anywhere on a city easement. Well, it's city easement own the, they have an easement on your property. So you might own all the way to the city street, but the city has an easement for the first 10 feet. That means you could be sitting there in your house enjoying dinner and a homeless camp can form in your front yard on your property that you pay taxes for. But since it's on a city easement, they have the right to camp out in your entire front yard and there's nothing you can do about it. And he, after all that stuff being passed this year, he's like, I'm out. And that we've known a couple people that have had that view and are just like, I'm moving outside of the city limits because this is absolutely ridiculous that the city can infringe on my personal property and allow people just to camp out on there and I can't do anything about it legally.
Well, isn't Joe Rogan and what, Elon Musk or who else is talking about leaving California?
Joe Rogan's not talking about it. He's done it.
Yeah.
He actually just, they're... with this deal with Spotify, they posted pictures. I haven't seen it, but they're showing pictures of his new studio he's building in Austin. So he's already committed, done, out.
He left big California for little California now, because Austin is pretty much just as screwed up as California.
Well, Musk's talking about, he's already released that he's building a new gigafactory out there. I thought it was funny. he's building something in this massive, like these factories aren't small. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are like, I want to say it was like 400-600 acre plot of land for this new factory. Yeah. And he said it's within 20 minutes of the downtown core. And my first reaction is like, within the 20 minute driving distance of the downtown core, I'm like, have you been to Austin when it wasn't a pandemic? Yeah. It's like, you can't get like six blocks in 20 minutes in downtown Austin, but there's apparently they're building out towards the airport. But I was like, I'm sorry, I don't know where a 600 piece of plot of land would be that...
Yeah, it's going to be 20 minutes.
20 minutes
to anywhere in Austin. Even if you're in the downtown core, it takes you 20 minutes to do two blocks.
Remember when I drove up to pick up some flooring in North Austin for one of our projects in Seguin? And I was like, oh, sweet. I don't have to leave as early because I have to deal with the traffic in Austin. And middle of the pandemic, this is like, we're talking April, I believe, that I drive through Austin. And the middle of the day, there was still stop and go traffic, even though like the traffic rates were supposed to drop like 50-60% by the number of vehicles on the road. And I was like, oh my God. So.
So that's that. Very funny, very interesting. Little update on last week's news, that we were talking about Freddie and Fannie, they were going to do the 0.5% money grab, and the FHFA, you know, and their complete wisdom.
Oh, Freddie, you got the acronym right.
I don't know what, because I keep confusing it with the FHA. So I want to say FHA, but there's an F in between, you know, right before the A, and that F just keeps throwing me off. But they decided to push it till December 1st. And they also did make a change to it where loans that are under 125,000 will be excluded from this charge. So, I mean, I get how that sounds nice of them, but it's really nothing. I mean, you're talking about what, less than $600 maybe at that? So they're still screwing everybody else over. But yeah, that, so it's been extended. So if you want to get into your refis and do everything, get into it now. I doubt any mortgage companies or anybody is going to be pretty much locking in anything because of these new fees are going to be coming out.
You can still lock them in. You lock them for 30 days, but they'll, if it's 30 days within your 30 day window is within that time frame of being implemented, they'll put it in your rate.
Right.
It'll be built into it.
So yeah, Angie Francis, that giant mug of water. Yeah, John is a very thirsty person, and
I don't like having to get up to go get water every 30 minutes.
Yes, and but you do get up to the bathroom there. So that's the update.
Hold it.
Another update: ban on evictions also extended to December, according to Uncle Trump. Tenants, but here's the caveat. So everybody's freaking out. Landlords and investors are freaking out because they're like, oh man, you know, you can't evict tenants. And what's going to happen? Because this is going to tie closely into how businesses are struggling. There's a lot of tenants taking advantage of the situation. They're more than capable of paying, but they're choosing not to, you know, and it might be because they're scared of what's happening and they'd rather keep some cash reserves. But the facts are that, you know, the landlords themselves are also being affected by this because they still have to pay the mortgage. So everybody's kind of out for theirs and protecting themselves. So this new extension of the evictions, you actually, as a tenant, have to prove that you've been directly affected by COVID. So this was from an article. And again, like I said, all the links are going to be below.
I'm looking at an article here about it. Because the difference between the two, because you asked the question, what's the difference from what they did the first time? Well, the first time with the CARES Act, it was only on federally backed loans that you couldn't do evictions. Is it still hot?
Nope.
I got cooled it. Off?
Okay. I figured it out.
Damn. I thought we were going to get it on camera.
What's up, Michael?
But this new one applies to all renters. So it wasn't, the first one was just federally backed loans, which there's a lot of them. Yeah. But if you have a privately financed property, like we have a couple, this moratorium extends to all renters but to be eligible for it, you had to have received one of the economic stimulus checks. So it's only those people that got that $1,200 check there. So if you're a high income earner, you made too much money, it doesn't protect them.
Right.
It's like, it's just that window between like the less than $99,000 a year or $200 if you're married.
But well, it still encompasses a lot. It also says, yeah, so it says that and that they are making their best efforts to pay as much of their rent as they can. Tenants must also certify that an eviction will likely make them homeless or push them to double up with others in close quarters. So, you know, the whole COVID fiasco and, you know, the close proximities and the social distancing. If it's going to force you to move in with somebody and it put too many people in too close of a quarter, then...
Well, it also discourages somebody that's like, they live in a $2,500 a month apartment, just living lavishly, but they could afford a $1,200 apartment.
Right.
But they can't qualify because they're like, well, I want to live in my fancy lifestyle. You should protect me. It doesn't help them. It just kind of like, you can move down to a lesser apartment and be just fine.
Exactly.
So that's something that I thought they included this time that... does help and make this more effective, unless predatory towards the landlord is like, no, they can't just get a free pass. Because I definitely have heard of investors that are having problems where somebody just straight up said, I don't want to pay my rent because you can get it from the government. And he's like, well, no, you're supposed to do that. He says, well, try to evict me, you can't.
Yeah. So, I mean, unless you're in like Seattle, California, one of these screwed up states, you're still... doing good as far as the economy goes, as far as they're still trying to protect you as best they can. But that's kind of leads me to the next point, which is the businesses that are struggling. So right now, I was actually reading an article about this. You have the Alamo Draft House in San Antonio being sued for $660,000 because they haven't paid rent from April to pretty much August. The Alamo Draft House, for people that don't know, is a theater that serves food and everything. Extremely annoying to go to because you hear people chomping at their food while you're trying to watch something. It's gross. They have craft beers.
Fan of people.
Yes, I don't like people breathing when I'm watching a movie. But you know, the whole thing's shut down, right? So they can't make their rent. They can't make their payment. So they're being sued by the owner. And then you have the owners of the shops at the River Center Mall sued over 13 tenants. And this is causing, this is just such a bad balance of tenants taking advantage of a situation because there are businesses that can operate and that can open up, but have chosen not to. And because they've chosen not to, they've also chosen not to pay rent. And you have other ones that have been forced to shut down, like restaurants, bars, theaters, that they can't afford it, right? I mean, when you have like this theater, I think their amount of seating was like 880 people. So you can't have that amount of people in a place. You're losing all your revenue, right? Major movies have stopped from being made this year. Like major movies have been postponed, pushed, or brought out to, you know, Disney, which we're going to cover. But, you know, it's all of these things are affecting the way these businesses can produce. So now it's affecting the way the landlords, because they still have to make their payments, they still have responsibilities. So it's causing such a big battle. And now you have tenants like Bubba Gump downtown that's suing their landlord because they've been locked out, because they haven't been paying. So now the landlords are starting to lash out because it's like, you know, the lawsuits are very, are kind of hard to win for a landlord too. So they're starting to just lock them out of their own business. So it's causing a lot of hostility, a lot of issues.
Explain the last one again. So the Bubba Gump is landlord locked the tenant out, and now the tenant wants to get back in, and they're suing the landlord because the landlord won't let them back in.
Right. They locked them out.
So is the landlord still making them pay rent even though they locked them out?
I would assume so. Yeah. That would be the question. So, I mean, it's pretty much, it doesn't say that Bubba Gump is actually trying to get back in to open up. They're just trying to get back in. That could mean anything, right? They just lost access to their shop. It doesn't mean that they're actually trying to open up their shop. But, you know, regardless, it's causing this hostility between them where it's like, you know, who's going to win here, right? You have the tenants that now they're suing the landlords suing the tenants. They're locking them out. The tenants are choosing not to pay even though they can. So it's causing a lot of issues. And then what happens? It's unemployment, right? It hits the employment market because then businesses that can open are choosing not to. And then it's affecting other businesses because now these people are not making money. Then you have the stimulus checks that are no longer coming out, if they ever do, because the Democrats and the Republicans need to get their pound of flesh whatever way they can. They don't give a damn about the people. That's for damn sure. So you have these people fighting. Nobody's getting any money. People can't get back to work. It's going to keep affecting other jobs. I mean, I don't know. I know you don't agree with the unemployment, but go ahead.
I say John's a pessimist when it comes to a lot of stuff about the pandemic and the unemployment rate. But consistently, every single month, unemployment rates are dropping, claims are dropping, payroll is expanding. But John is still pessimistic about the whole thing. Because no matter what, it's everyone's lying. My take is, I don't know. You look across any... any way you look at the number, every single number from any different news source, it's all positive news, but you're still angry about it.
No, I just don't fall for the hype, because you look at the facts and you look at how many businesses are still struggling and how many businesses haven't even begun to come after them.
This is what I was listening to that podcast. It's like, who is struggling? It's like, I was making that point. It's very isolated on who's struggling.
Okay, so the hospitality industry.
Hospitality and travel.
Okay, that's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people.
They hit the job market.
They do, and that is where, but it's isolated to that specific segment.
Whatever. It's like a lot of, still unemployment. It's still people going after jobs.
Yeah, exactly. But unemployment rate, it dropped recently. Like, they were expected to drop from 10.2 to 9.5 or 9.8 or something. And it just came out this morning that it dropped to 8.5. I was like, those jobs are isolated to two specific industries. It's not rampant across, like the last recession, across all industries, because it was due to funding and liquidity, and all businesses were locked out. Yeah. This one now, like, yes, there are some ripple effects and repercussions that are going to come from that, like tourism, hospitality, travel, hotel occupancies, and things like that, and where that'll travel, and how does it spread to other parts? Like, it comes down to it's the loans that they are defaulting on, and it's like, as long as those banks aren't systemically affected, they can still lend and still keep other operations, other parts of the economy moving and going. Mm-hmm. That's like, that's why my thing is, like, I don't think it's as bad as a lot of people play it out to be, because fear is what they're trying to pump into the market to get their headlines. I mean, it's, everyone knows that a terrible headline gets more views than a bad headline or a good headline.
Oh, of course.
So you get advertising dollars off that. So they're trying to pump as much fear into it. We're in election year. It's a perfect storm. But that's where I say it's like, it's very isolated to certain subsects and certain income brackets that it is being affected. So that's why I think it is more isolated to where you have Rick Edelman talks about, he's like, what kind of recovery?
He's everyone's
like, you have the Nike swoosh type recovery where it goes down fast but then slowly recovers. You got the V where it drops down, takes back off. Some people are saying it's going to be a W where it went down, goes back up, drops again, goes back up. And his saying, he's like, I think it's going to be more of a K recovery. Meaning you
have... fucking letter. What's this about?
Okay. K, you think of what a K looks like.
Yeah.
It's like you're going to have a certain part of the economy that goes down and takes back off. But you're going to have certain parts of the economy that came up but then that went back down. Because a lot of money flew into the market to where what's going up? Tech. Like, we're going to get into like Tesla and Zoom and how some of these companies are doing fantastic and bringing the economy up. But then there's certain parts of the economy that are going down, like your airlines, cruises, hospitality industries, big restaurants, chains and things like that. So you have a split in the economy. So that's where.
So here's where. Why you say I'm pessimistic and how I look at the economy differently. You look at the economy as a separated faction that one side does not touch the other.
No, they're in different lines. I'm not saying that.
But the way I look at it is you have the hospitality industry. You have the airline industry. You have, so yes, Zoom, Tesla, they're doing good, right? That's the stock market. The stock
market. Real estate market. Booming.
And that's fine, right? The real estate market is booming. Good. But the employment is where the issue is coming in, right? So you have airlines that are still kicking out, because there's a lot of people they're not accounting for. Like, they do always with unemployment. They choose what figures they want to hit.
I told you, I read your numbers, and those numbers are even dropping. The people that are choosing not to be in the market, that are part-time because they can't find full-time employment, those rates are dropping at 3-4% month over month.
Yeah.
So those numbers are falling as well.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't look at what is. I'm looking at what's coming, right? So I'm looking at, there's still thousands of people in the airline industry that have not been let go. They're keeping in limbo, but we know they're going to be let go, right? So those people have yet to hit the market. There's thousands of people. I'm saying thousands to not say millions, because I got to look at the stats. But you have the hospitality industry. Like, the owner of Bubba Gump, he's Tillman Fertitta, right? He's the owner of the Houston Rockets, and he owns pretty much hotels and restaurants across all the U.S. and parts of the world, mm-hmm. right? He's doesn't know what the hell to begin. He has hundreds of thousands of employees that he has nothing for them. And right now we are seeing in San Antonio, even hotels are going up for sale left and right because hospitality is that. In San Antonio, hospitality is a big sector.
It is.
Tourism is a big sector in San Antonio. That affects San Antonio, right? Because then you have hospitality, which... Again, the way I look at it is everything's connected. So what the problem with this is that these are, to me, unemployment, the way I look at it, they're trailing indicators. there's stuff from, it picked up in June. There's some optimism. Yes, but these are still trailing indicators of more businesses.
When do you start actually paying attention to the information that comes out? Because you've been saying this for 3-4 months now.
I don't pay attention to that information. I look at what is. Well, I don't care about what the unemployment rate.
So when does I look at what is become, okay, this actually is doing well? Because you look
when
at,
it's actually doing well.
Because it is. Like, you look at the real estate market. Mm-hmm. When our industry fell off like a rock in April.
Because it wasn't a real estate issue.
It took off. And that's what I'm saying. As like, what is this issue? Industries that require close connectivity or right with close to people. So that's travel and that's hotels. But even restaurants are now starting to adapt and mitigate to where I went one a sushi place we go to. They are not limited to capacity at all because they have the ability to, they created individual booths that everyone can sit in between, and there is a barrier between every single one of them. So they have no capacity limits for the fact that like they have the ability to wall things off and separate people.
So but that's going to be the issue for a lot of restaurants, that they bank on volume, right? They bank on the more seats they can fit in the place, the better chances they have of making a profit. There's other restaurants, like let's say a sushi place or something that maybe a little bit more expensive, a little bit more upscale, or restaurants that they make more money on alcohol because, you know, they're fancier, they're going to be able to still sustain with fewer people because their income is higher. But then you have the more affordable places that people are used to going that can't bring in the amount of people that they used to, let's say for breakfast, lunch, dinner rush that they used to, you know, your gyms and all those famous baby boomer diners over here. You have all these places that they're going to be hurting tremendously. And there's a lot of them, especially, again, in San Antonio. San Antonio chains are huge.
So how would that transfer to the broader economy?
The same thing.
Unemployment. Okay. Yes. Yeah. But now you're talking low income level employees that don't move the economic needle that much because they're basically just trying to afford basic necessities. They're not lavishly spending going out to restaurants.
This is not some third world country.
But I'm telling you that
low income people spend money. How many times have we gone to a house that's being foreclosed on in the terrible side of town, but yet they have flat screen TVs?
Yes,
in
but that's
room.
What I said. You look at the information, the data on who moves the economic needle. It's not people making $35,000 and less. Okay. It's people making $50,000 and above.
Okay.
As like those jobs are your middle management and up. Those people still have their jobs because they've been able to adapt and move to working from home. So those people are still making money. They still have the money to go out and spend. Now they're shifting their spending. They're going to Amazon. They're going to different places. So the money's shifting. But that velocity of money that I talk about is just moving from one place to the other. That's where I said, like, I don't see it getting that bad or worse than 2008 because it's not a liquidity crisis anymore. As long as it doesn't hit liquidity crisis. If it does, then it will be a huge problem. It's like, but right now, I think it's very isolated to certain industries that do not have the ability to adapt, which is your travel industry, people going on cruises and things like that. And they can't really get loans to offset that distance because their income dropped 90%. So these industries that are only affected 20-30% have the ability to still go out and borrow at ultra low interest rates. They have some of the Fed protection programs to get them through these times. And then while the economy is recovering, and we're already in a recovery, that is going to be able to bridge that gap to when the economy can take back off. They're poised to really take off again. Because that's where I was like, the economy is recovering. So the airline and hospitality industries might be the last to recover from this. But when they do recover, as long as the underlying economy is still strong, like every other industry, they'll be able to come back a lot quicker than if the entire economy from A to Z was struggling.
Yeah.
It's like, but there's only certain parts that are really struggling, some that are kind of struggling, ones that aren't struggling at all, and ones that are just booming because of this. So it's not widespread across the entire economy like 2008 when it was like nobody could get loans. Everyone was over-leveraged. People can get loans now, and they can refinance at even lower interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
Now, long-term, what's that going to do when you can't raise interest rates at all? I don't know. But that's where my case is. I think that the economy is recovering and it is moving along towards a more prosperous economy because of the way they did step in, whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
They did pump enough money into it that it and create enough lending programs that it stopped it from being systemic and spreading across into liquidity crisis across banks,
right,
to a financial system.
Yeah, and I completely disagree. So I think that we haven't seen the worst of this yet. I think
pessimist.
No, we'll see. I always tell you, I don't want that shit to play out, because with my hunches, when shit gets worse, it's gonna get worse for everybody, not just the lower income, not just the people in hospitality. It's gonna affect us all, right? I don't think the government has done enough. I don't think they've put enough money into people's hands like they should have. I think what the Trump administration is doing right now with the $300 a month and all the stupid shit they're doing is not enough, because you still have a lot of sections locked down, a lot of things that you're stopping people from doing, stopping people from making income, and you're also telling them you still got to pay your bills. So like we said last time, pick one. You either shut down the economy and give people money, or you stop giving people money and you open up the economy. You got to pick one. You can't be in this limbo, because I think...
So I can't be you're saying it's an either or, not an and situation.
Right.
So they're opening up the economy now, and they're giving $300 versus $600.
Well,
so
that's the stuff that they need to be given to people that actually do need it, right? Like, there's also people that don't need any stimulus check. They don't need unemployment. But it's kind of like an umbrella policy across the board. And there's people that $300 is just not enough. They need a lot more than that. And there's people that don't even need the $300 that are getting it, right? So it's like you need to be helping out the ones that are completely unemployed and don't have a chance of finding
anything. But when it comes to the effect of the economy, mm-hmm. dollars in the economy. So the person that doesn't need the money getting $300, what are they going to do? They're going to go out and spend it. The person that doesn't need the money.
I don't know if people are that confident on the economy. I don't know if the majority of people are that optimistic.
I think people are over it, tired of it, and starting to go against it. For the fact that you made that comment earlier this week about HEB, not enforcing masks anymore. Because I think there's a lot of people that are just like, I'm just so over this damn thing. And the news, we can move into the next topic of like, the news is coming out being like, okay, we were a little wrong on the overall death rate of this thing. Or yes, it's contagious, but when people get it, it's not as bad as we originally thought. So more and more of that information's coming out. Yeah. More and more people are being able to return to work, called back to work, or adapting to the new economy. There's money starting to flow back in the economy. There's more talks of therapeutics, stage 3 testing on the coronavirus. So there's a lot of good news coming out, to where bad news is only effective for so long before people are just like, the short attention span is like,
sure.
I'm over
it. They become numb to it.
They're just like, dude, okay, cases are rising. But even then, you look at the maps of where it is rising, it's not really rising anywhere. It's falling off. Like the hot spots of Texas, California, Florida are now having 10% like day over, or a week over week, a month over month.
The masks
drops.
Are working.
Yeah, the masks are working. But that's where I think a lot of this stuff is. So I guess you could put it this way. He's a little more pessimistic. I'm more optimistic on where things are currently at.
Right. So moving on.
But back to the CDC, we can just trail it into that topic. Of just like, where news is coming out that this, they kind of got a little wrong. A little bit of like what this stuff is. I mean, you understood the article a lot more than I did, because apparently I didn't read the last quarter of it. The first three quarter, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
You gotta set it up, right? It's a New York Times article.
Yes.
So we all know, and please, if you get offended, you're gonna have a tough time watching this show. But New York Times, we all know, is a far left publication, right? They're all Democrat all the way, and even worse than that. So they come out with this article saying how the testing for the virus, so they have a cutoff cycle that they use when they test for virus, for the COVID, right? And what that cutoff cycle is they set a number, so they've been setting it 37 to 40, and that pretty much, like the way they say, that's way too high of a cycle. Because those cycles pretty much find damn near anything in your system.
I did remember that they said it was equivalent to finding a hair in a hallway after somebody walked through the hallway last week.
Exactly.
It's a small trace.
It's a very small trace. And they've been using those numbers to say how many people are positive of COVID. And they were saying...
COVID, not COVID-19. COVID.
Oh, yeah, because there's 18 other strains of COVID, right? So So they've been coming out positive with COVID, and nobody's asked to look at what cycle they've been testing it under, right? Which has been 37 and 40. And then they were saying, if you take that same group of people, one, because they the stats are on the cycles they did. If you take that same group of people and you do it where a lot of the experts and CDC doctors and all these people are saying that it should be below 30 cycles, that's when you're going to get an actual accurate reading and when you can actually get real data. They're like over almost 90% of those people come out to be negative. 90%. Like, it is a stupid amount of people that are said to be positive with COVID that are no longer positive with COVID. Because it's like, yeah, they're too sensitive.
They're positive in the sense that you have very minute traces of coronavirus or COVID inside inside their body.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people. So you're getting a lot of, what would that be, a false positive as far as are you symptomatic and can you spread this virus? It's like, it's way too sensitive of a test that it's like basically everybody had a little bit of trace in it, but it's only 10% of those people tested actually had a real problem. So they're being way too sensitive and they're just not, because they just kind of overshot, overcovered, overtested. Yeah. And now it's like, oh, okay. But like you're saying, is like, this is a New York Times kind of, I think you and I believe that like a lot of this COVID has become political because it's an election cycle.
Oh, they've, for sure.
And found ways to turn this in. We're now like, I think New York and New Jersey and more of the left-leaning people are saying, we're not going to follow the new CDC testing guidelines.
Yeah.
I was like, well, 6 months ago, you were saying we need to do everything the CDC says, because now they're saying it's being politically motivated to do something else.
Right.
But now you say you have a left-leaning news publication coming out and basically giving what we would consider negative news towards their narrative. But it's coming out and saying, like, this isn't as
that,
positive.
And that was the thing that blew my mind, because it's just that. It's like, if, let's say Fox would have came out with this article, people would be like, of course, it's Fox, it's the right, you know, they want to bring this down, all that. No credibility or nothing. But the fact that it was the New York Times is what blew my mind. I'm like, holy shit, because this doesn't help
them. He was like a kid in a candy store. He came out, did you see the article in New York Times? I'm like, because, no, I did. What was it?
Because you say I'm a pessimist, but like... I'm not. Like, this is good news for me, because this means that if they stop the fear-mongering of the COVID and all this shit, then the economy can open back up and then everything recovers, right?
So you disagreed with me then.
No.
Yeah, you said as long as people are doing it,
the economy can open back up. Yes. But you're saying that everything is great now. And we're having great news and all this fake news.
We are having good news.
Get out of here.
We're having some bad news.
Look, Angie Franz has said, getting hot between the Johns. That's the point of this. We, like you guys can see, we're business partners, and there's a lot of shit we disagree on.
Pretty funny. People always talk like, you guys are like so angry towards each other. It's like, no, we just talk in all caps with each other.
Yeah, we're talking all
there's
caps.
There's an exclamation point after every sentence we say.
And even when I send emails, they're like, you don't have to put an exclamation point. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it needs to be there.
That's how I do, portray my personality through text.
But Oren put, he says, I'm on the treadmill, turned off Netflix, and I'm watching you guys. Thanks, Oren. It's just that, right? It's like, that's the stuff that I'm seeing. Like, it has truth behind it, because they wouldn't put it out because it affects them, right? If COVID goes away and the economy picks up, there's almost no chance that a Democrat can win the presidency, because it's like, you know, what change are you really going to bring, right? Whether you like Trump or not, it's not an opinion thing. It's just the economy was doing really well. So it's like, what else are you going to do? So that's where I got excited. I was like, holy crap, if this happens. And then I would start hearing from people, saying that, yeah, I was at an HEB and they no longer have the signs. HEB, for those of you listening, is a supermarket here in Texas, but
the best supermarket in the United States.
You haven't been to New York. And now they have, HEB that they've taken down the masks, the mask signs. And inside, you can walk in without a mask, and nobody has said anything.
This is what somebody was saying.
This is just rumors, right? The HEB, and I doubt HEB will come out with an article until Abbott, which next week, Abbott is supposed to come out and put a new, I don't know what the hell he's going to say, but he's going to roll his ass in front of the podium and say something along the lines of what to expect moving forward. You know, if we're going to move on to the next phase, or what's going to happen.
Like, we talked about that, like, They're shutting everything down. They shut all the bars and restaurants, or all the bars and stuff down. But then, so to be classified as a bar, you have to sell 51% of your revenue has to come from alcohol sales. Well, a lot of bars are being converted into quote-unquote restaurants, even though we know it's a bar. But what they've done is they've just lowered the bar. I think they lowered it from 51% of sales down to 35% of sales.
Mm-hmm.
It has to come from alcohol, and then you can be classified as a restaurant. But then bars are allowed to have food trucks parked outside and still be open. And they can take in the sales of the food truck in order to open their business back up. So our John just goes, what I told that, he goes, what the why don't they just open it back up then? So it is.
Yeah, because they're looking for ways to legally go around this and
without. I think they're trying to save face, not saying, well, we screwed up.
Exactly. That's my thing. It's like, this over here. All right, people, are we just not seeing this? Like, do we not realize that they're pretty much saying, yeah, go ahead, open up. You know, it's really not that serious. It's really not an issue, you know, and it's just one of those things that, again, going back to like, I don't look at the news. I look at like what people are doing. And when you look at what people are doing, I'm like, all right, what's not clicking here? You know what I mean? Like they just come out and say, hey, so we fucked up. You could mess. Really don't do shit. Because especially when we came out with it, that you can put a bandana on and apparently that was enough. Come on, a bandana, really? Like you can tell that was just politics. And so doing all of this opens things up. I mean, so many gyms were closed down or put in limitations, gyms filing for bankruptcies. You know, I mean, it was affecting so many people on just false evidence, like just things that they were just doing broad protesting. Broad reach
overreaction of freaking yeah. out and just going way too far, way too quick.
So now moving on to another topic that I think was kind of fun. Again, if you guys have any questions regarding real estate, any deals maybe you're working on or marketing or struggles, put them in the chat and we'll make sure to address them. But moving on, what the fuck is going on with Tesla? It blows my mind. Let me just give you the rundown of what I saw. And I don't know, maybe you can put some light on this. But Tesla has broken records with their stock prices, all right? Tesla is expected to deliver more than 500,000 cars in 2020. Decent number, right? 500,000. But Ford in 2019 did 2.41 million cars. Fiat and Chrysler did 2.2 million cars. GM did 2.9 million cars. And Tesla's valuation, they put it in the article. Look, it says Tesla is now worth more than those companies combined by a factor of 3.5. Not just combined, but by a factor of 3.5. What the fuck? How? They're not producing shit.
It's the ultimate speculation of the what gets hot just kind of takes off and the more and more people feed into it and the further and further and further this thing grows. To where I think since like March, they're up like 675%. Like no, like I made that point this morning, no company's revenue in 6 months' time grows sixfold mm-hmm. at a company that's that large. I mean, yeah, a small business might be able to do that going from $10 to $60. I mean, that's much easier to do at that level. But when you're talking billions of dollars growing, like what is driving this? And then, cause I was talking to somebody the other day and they talked about, oh, well, they just did that stock split. So I bought stocks. And I asked the question, like, but why'd you buy it? It's like, well, the stock went up after it did that stock split. Yeah. I was like, do you understand what the stock split does? Like most people don't realize that like by doing a stock split, they think somehow the valuation's going up. There's more things. They're like, the only thing that's available is more shares.
So they're making it more affordable.
If you have one share at $1,000, they do a 5-to-1 stock split. You just now have five shares at $200.
Right.
So you still have the same valuation, but the broad market people don't understand that. Or a lot of people don't understand that. And they jump in and they go buy it because now it's more affordable for them to buy into this thing. And it did make a short-term rally to where I think the last couple of days it's gone up down like 18%. And it's like extremely volatile. But I just don't understand Tesla because then a lot of their business model or revenue comes from selling tax credits to these other major manufacturers. Right. So they're being subsidized by the government, because where the government comes out and gives, basically, how I understand it anyways, is the government says we want green energy. So we give certain tax credits out for creating those types of vehicles. They want kind of green energy stuff to kind of come out and be produced and studied and money to be flown into that. So, but they also give those things the sellability to where Tesla sells all green cars. So they get all these tax credits. But now you got Ford, GM, Fiat Chrysler, all these other ones that don't produce those cars, but can now purchase those tax credits from Tesla.
Yep.
So now Tesla's huge revenue is based off of just selling straight tax credits. To now what's going to happen to Tesla in the future, when we already know that these major manufacturers are coming out with all kinds of, I think in the next like 5 years, some like 500 new electric vehicle lines are supposed to come out to like,
oh yeah.
And like
Tesla, BMW, Mercedes, yeah, exactly. Everybody, like, they have Tesla, the infrastructure to do it.
Tesla's a luxury utility car, electric vehicle.
Yeah.
To where now you got Mercedes, BMW, Lexus coming out with their own electric vehicles, their own luxury lines of electric vehicles. They're not going to need to be buying as many tax credits from Tesla in the future. So what's going to happen? But it is also true. They say like Tesla's not a auto manufacturer. They're a tech company. So you have other lines that they put out, like their the Gigafactories is producing massive battery cells and selling battery packs for so they're a little more diverse than just like a GM.
For sure.
But I don't think they're 20 times more diverse. And
well, especially when they keep using Tesla as the cars, right? Like, talk about it how it is. Don't compare it to Ford and Chrysler and GM, because it doesn't compare. It's like you said, Tesla is a tech company. It's not a car manufacturer, right? It comes up with the technology. It comes up with all that. I was still reading how you have Tesla cars, self-driving ones, that are crashing into shit. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's still kind of clunky on the technology. But once they figure out and the technology becomes perfect, you are going to have Ford, Chrysler, GM, BMW, Mercedes. They have the infrastructure in place to outproduce them, because they have everything. All they need to do is just add the technology to it. So Tesla's not going to compete in that field. And yes, their cars might be, you know, a luxury. You know, a lot of people like to compare it to Apple. Well, Apple's a brand. Yeah, but Apple still produces products that work. I mean, you have Apple computers, you have, you know, phones. And I prefer like
3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
Just right here, we have 7 Apple products sitting on this table right here.
And the only reason I haven't upgraded my PC to an Apple is because they're expensive. So the one that I need for editing and everything, it's like $3,700. But, you know, all those things, those are the things that I look at. Is this is a tech company. It's very volatile. So you can't look at it as a car manufacturer, how they try to use it in those articles. And when they say they're going to do a 5-to-1 split, that makes it so bullish for people that don't understand. But all it is that they're just diluting not diluting, but they're just adding more shares to the pot. So it's more affordable. So if you, like John said, if you had 1 share, now you're going to have 5 shares, but you still have the same amount of money, right? And what it's going to do is that it's going to make Tesla go down to 297 from 1485. And people are going to say, oh, wow, you know, this time last year, it was at 211. So if I buy a 297 and it goes back up to 1400 next year, I'm going to make a killing. So well, it's speculative.
And what's also that Tesla came out and said they're selling $5 billion in stock. For cash for their own companies, like, because now they have this huge valuation. They're just like, oh shit, let's make the money while we can. Let's sell 5 billion of our shares. So now, because it's worth 600% more than it was just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So like, and like, I'm not a fan of speculative investing and people that don't know what they're doing or what they're even buying. They're buying the fact that I heard the news that somebody bought Tesla at this price and now they put all their money into Tesla they put $40,000 into it 6 months ago, and now they're worth what would that be? $240,000. I got $250,000 in just a few short months. They're like, well, no, I want to do that. So that's how these things, I mean, it's straight Bitcoin model in 2018, whenever it was, like, it was just always going up, and people that didn't know what they were doing were buying into it and just bidding it up and up and up and up and up and up. But it can't go up forever. And that's where our point is, like, we're not fans of speculative investing and getting into things you don't understand what the economics behind it or why it's worth what it's worth.
Yeah, but we're not talking about Airbnb. Because that's another speculative investment that a lot of investors love jumping into, and then they got their asses chewed when this happened. Because the same with Airbnb, everybody got into it because it's like, well, why should I rent this house for $1,100 when I can make $3,000-$4,000 a month? But then you were buying a house that on the regular market rents for $1,100 and your mortgage is $1,800. That was the problem. Mm-hmm. We never said, like, don't buy a house that rents for $1,100 and your mortgage is maybe $600 and then you can make $4,000. We're like, all day long, do it. Because if that goes wrong, you go back to the $1,100. You're still taking care of your mortgage. But what people were doing was the opposite. They were buying expensive houses in the downtown area and all these because it's speculative, because it was going to be quick, fast money. You know, it was going to be a lot of it. And then when this happened, their whole portfolio went to
crap. Well, not even that, but then it's also like the government started stepping in when they're pound of flesh from the fees, because the hotel industries, like, they're like, whoa, why do we got to pay all these hotel taxes and all these fees for us to operate?
Yeah.
But now we're losing business to these other competitors that don't have to pay these fees. That's not fair. And those unions and those bargaining, those powers that be, that they have a lot more power than a bunch of individual homeowners that are doing Airbnb. So now they came in and stepped in and said they want their hotel occupancy taxes and stuff on top of it. So they're chewing into those profit margins further and further and further. And then you smack with something that hits that entire industry across the board. It's a little easier for Marriott to go to Bank of America and ask for a $100 billion loan than your one individual homeowner that's got an Airbnb and go to a bank and say, hey, I want $100,000 for my Airbnb.
Right.
They don't have the balance sheet for that.
So going back to the whole, you know, kind of the article of the New York Times, we had Christopher King. Thanks for watching, Christopher. He puts, even with that article being correct, COVID-19 will still be the most contagious virus in a century. Why would it be counterproductive to wear a mask? So, great question, Chris. Honestly, this, again, we're not doctors. This is just our opinion on things. So, you know, it's just our opinion. But the way that I look at it is, if 90% of the people were not contagious, right, were not positive, didn't actually have it, then is it still the most contagious virus? Right? Because then obviously it's not spreading at that level anymore. And then you have Fauci came out saying that masks were only necessary for the people that had the virus, that had the symptoms, and that were positive for the virus. That's who it was for. He said it's not for the people that don't have it, right? So where am I going with all this is that the mask, the proximities, all of this has caused for a lot of things to shut down. So it's not that, you know, the masks are an issue, because they're not. I mean, people can wear, if they say, hey, we're going to open up everything, but you just got to wear a mask everywhere, I'm fine with that. I don't give a damn. Open it up. Let the economy get back to it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll wear a mask. It's just what we're saying is that it's more of the, it doesn't seem to be necessary, right? It doesn't seem like it is that contagious. It doesn't seem like it is that deadly.
Well, that's contagious. It's not that deadly. Or yeah, that bad. Because, I mean, it might be as extremely contagious. But when your contagious causes you just to lose taste for 2 weeks. Okay, you got something, you lost your taste for 2 weeks, and now you're immune to this thing.
Well, but like, even the contagion, right? Like, when you are thinking 90% more of the population have it, it seems extremely contagious, and you can catch it from literally anybody. But when that goes down substantially, then it's like, well, is it still that contagious then? Because apparently not that many people have it. So,
you know, have it to the extent that it causes mass problems.
Or yeah, because they said even at 30 cycles, and again, guys, I'm going to link all the articles after this is over. I'm going to put all the articles below so you guys can go read them and everything. On the New York Times one about this, you do have to scroll like damn near all the way to the bottom, because it's still the New York Times. They don't want to put facts up front. just to piss people off. I'm sorry. I like it.
Hear you, but you back up New York when I
Angie, if you're listening, that's for you. But yeah, I mean, check out the article. And that's just my curiosity, right? It just my own logic. Again, I'm not a doctor. It's just the way I look at it is if 90% of those tests were off, those people did not have it. You know, they just might have had a small trace of something at some point and whatever. Then that's, you know, how is that contagious, right? Like, that's my curiosity. So he puts now, all that data is based on the fact that the entire planet quarantined. There are no real data to show the numbers had that not happened. Agreed with you to open the economy, but as long as people wear masks. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one of those things that, like, you know, we don't know until we test, right? And one of the biggest things you got to test is, first of all, get the damn test right. If apparently 37 and 40 cycles is ridiculous, right? Because it's a hair down a hallway of somebody that walked by a week ago. It's like, that's not accurate testing. Let's get accurate testing. Open things up. Include the masks. I'm more than fine with the masks. Include the masks. And let's see. Does it keep spreading? Is it that severe? And now you also have personal responsibility that you must take, which is if you have, like, if they've shown, I can't remember the stat, but it was huge. The stat of...
I love it when you try to stop yourself from cussing, like,
yeah, I'm working on it. But I can't remember where the stat was, but it was a large number of the people that have died all had pre-existing conditions. Now, to that point, yes, if that doesn't mean that those pre-existing conditions were going to kill you. COVID made it worse and it killed you and it sucks. Those are the people that really need to take this shit serious, right? Those are the people that if you have pre-existing conditions, if you have something that is already in you that can cause issues, diabetes, anything with your lungs, because this affects your lungs, anything like that, then yes, you should take extra measures to protect yourself because you're at more risk than, let's say, us that we don't have any pre-existing conditions, right? Except for just cursing a lot. But, you know, we don't have any pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, that's a different pre-existing condition.
Yeah. So, Angie, she's like, wait, what? I'm listening enough to hear my name. You're special, Angie.
Too late. Already had to send the children out of the room. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a disclaimer that John should probably run anytime he talks in front of a camera.
Thanks for the question, Chris, though. I really appreciate it. Like I said, you know, this is not a political talk or, you know, we think any, it's just our opinions on things. It's just what we look at. We do want people to be safe. Obviously, if this virus was highly contagious and really hurting and killing people, of course, we would be like, no, take it serious. Keep your ass home, you know, because you're going to die. But even still, it's like, at what point when you have all these doctors and CDC and everybody pretty much saying, look, COVID is never going to go away. It's most likely going to be a part of our life.
You think of this is like, I've never heard of the word COVID, coronavirus, never heard it before basically January of this year. But coronaviruses have been around for a very, very long time. Yeah. I think it was like, the SARS or MERS or H1N1, one of them like was a coronavirus, but they didn't call it that. It's like, these things have been around for a very long time. This is just a new version of it. Like,
they could market the hell out of this one. That's what it was. This one was a sellable virus that they could market
during the perfect time of a political cycle on top of a whole bunch of other things. It was really just quite the perfect storm of all this kind of coming together. And then it just took off like a rocket. But that's back to the point. I think it's people are starting to kind of get like, oh, okay, I'm kind of really over this thing.
Of course.
Okay, the news, yes, we get it. But now you can't manipulate the numbers of new viruses anymore, where at one point the state was red in the growing numbers. But now I think it's like, I think it's the news app on Apple News. They have one that shows like the map of like number of cases across the United States of which states are going up, which ones are going down. And the vast majority of them are dropping of new cases month over month, year, whatever it is, at a very rapid rate.
Well, so they can't even hide that anymore. If they also modify the way they run the tests, that number is going to be down even more, right? I mean, the number that really does matter is the hospitalization numbers. right? How many people are being hospitalized? Because it's not just how many people are coming out positive. It's just how many people is it really affecting? That's where the issue comes in. Because if the hospitals get overloaded, overrun with COVID patients, then yes, it causes a problem for people that get a heart attack or that, you know, have a, you know, need surgery or whatever, because now they can't be treated.
So that's like my whole thing with this is like, we have to protect the hospital system. Right. Because a lot of people turn is like, we need to protect everybody. The government's here. Don't worry. We got you. We're going to save protect everybody. It's like, no, you need to protect the hospital systems from being overloaded. And it's like, I do agree with that, because now if the virus is that bad and people are getting sick that can be saved, that can't go to the hospital because it's overrun. Yes. Now I agree. That is an actual really big problem.
For sure.
But I don't see it has gotten to that point to where numbers were rising and they said, we really need to slow this down to figure this thing out. But now it seems like they're starting to get a pretty good handle on this stuff. And that's why I think you're starting to see, like here in Texas anyways, like them modifying these regulations and these stipulations that some of these businesses have and why they're shutting down. And they're rolling them back. But I mean, not rolling them back. They're changing the goalposts to not come out and say we screwed up.
Well, and then you have Molly Hernandez. The point is that because data has been incorrect, we don't really know anything about this 19 strand of COVID and how it truly affects us. And that's exactly even the point that the doctors were making in the article. They were saying, you know, because they've been testing it at such a high number, they've been getting a lot of information and data that just doesn't match. You know?
Oh, that's great. I love Christopher's comment right there.
He says, I guess the real issue is hospital capacity. It wouldn't matter to me if people filled the hospitals because they were slipping on bananas. They should wear banana shoes in order to keep the hospitals open.
As though we just agreed, awesome. And that's where there is you have to realize there is a lag from us talking and when you guys see it to when a comment comes on. So like when you put we just agreed, we'd actually said that probably 20 seconds ago.
Yeah.
But it is. So I love that we should all wear banana shoes to keep the hospital open.
That's hilarious. And it's just that, right? It's just. Oh, man. It's just, and plus they gave a huge incentive to hospitals, making sure that everybody had COVID, because for every COVID patient, they would get like 15 grand.
And there was a lot of money being pumped into it that way. And it's like, well, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, we're going to go ahead and classify all this stuff as being killed by coronavirus, and then we get paid.
And then all of a sudden,
we get research funding. We get different things.
We have a friend that works in the hospital space that said, yeah, I went to some of the hospital rooms and everything, and they have all new tech in there. They have new TVs, the new flat screen TVs, new stuff in the rooms. And I'm like, well, they're getting paid.
Back to my point, money's being pumped in the economy and things are getting better and we are going to be saved. We're going on about an hour right now. If you guys do like this, please click the like button, subscribe and share it so we can get more people on this and being entertained and enjoying John and our banter back and forth.
Yeah, and our goal really right now with our YouTube channel is to keep spreading the information. As you see, we put a lot of training, free resources. So we would love to hit 1,000 subscribers on our channel just to be able to get more people and help more people do real estate investing the right way, because just so many bad investors, so much bad negotiating, bad deals that makes us look bad. So we want to definitely put out there the information of how to think like a smart investor, how to build your business correctly. And that way we all look good in this business.
Well, it's kind of funny, like how this came about is like, some people said they like the authenticity of it. And where we've always been talking is like, dude, anytime we start having a conversation, we should just turn a camera on because it's always like this. And that's right. He said, let's actually start having a conversation Friday mornings, because randomly throughout the day, we'll have a 2-hour long conversation about whatever it may be. And so now it's like, we'll just actually have these conversations and let other people watch them and see if they enjoy them and get knowledge out of them.
And then getting this kind of feedback, you know, a lot of people have put in their thoughts. People are even having their conversation in the chat. So it's been good. It's good, constructive conversations that I think are not having anymore. People are not having, like, you know, we were talking about it yesterday. I'm part of a mastermind. And I'm like, you know, God forbid nowadays you say an opinion. You say an opinion and people crucify you. Like if I say, hey, I just want to have the freedom to choose how to live my life. Oh, you're a Republican. You're a racist. You hate this. You hate that. And then if I say, you know, hey, we really need to take care of the people that are hurting, you know, and people that have lost their jobs. oh, you're a socialist, you know, you all this. I'm like,
you hate business.
No, I have something in my head called the brain, and I tend to use it to create my own opinions and thoughts. Like, it's innovative, apparently.
It's okay to have conflicting opinions. And it's like, that's one thing, like, a lot of it, like, I hate it. It's like, God, nobody can just actually have a conversation without it getting so angry at each other. And what was it, like, Patrick Bet-David put out a video. It's like, what everybody needs to go watch as a movie right now is, like, Remember the Titans and how they handled and mashed tribute the blacks versus whites to left versus right nowadays, where they made them come together and work as a team and get along.
Well, even that, right? How has that become political? How has the whole, you know, Black Lives Matter and everything become a left versus right? Like, is a Republican not allowed to say, you know, I agree, Black Lives do matter? Oh, no, then you're a Democrat. Like, what the, how? How do you figure this? Like, we're not allowed to think something outside of that bubble. Like, I ask of everybody and anybody listening, take yourself out of these groups and put yourself back into a group of being an individual thinker, being somebody that actually creates their own opinions, their own thoughts, and you take the time to be educated on a topic. Don't be a headline reader. That you read a headline and then all of a sudden, oh, I'm sharing this shit on Facebook and sharing it everywhere. And you never even read the article and you realize like 3/4 of the way through is when they actually say, yeah, no, and these are the facts.
So don't be a John when it comes to the economy and numbers and stuff is what he's basically saying.
Oh, sure. Yes, sir. I read the numbers and they make sure. But we do have, I don't know what your O stands for, but Guidoja. Says, y'all better than The View. Wow, I sure hope so. Local stuff important to me. First time watching, will be weekly Friday morning follower. Well, thanks.
We appreciate
that. Yeah, it means a lot. Thank you so much.
Well, I mean, like your point there is like what I'm a strong believer in synergy, where I can't remember the definition they use, like the sum of the parts is greater than the whole.
Yes.
Or like 1 + 1 does not equal 2, 1 + 1 = 3 kind of aspect. I mean, that's what our entire republic was founded upon, was people, different rooms. That's why we have the checks and balances in our government system, manipulative as they may be nowadays. But it was founded on, you have an opinion, I have an opinion. We have to negotiate to find the best thing in the world, or the best thing, and it's usually the best thing for the people. But nowadays, it seems like everyone's so divided. We're like, I'm either here or here. There's nothing in between. To where those people cannot talk anymore and come up with the best ideas. It's my way or the highway. No, it's my way or the highway. And that creates a clash.
Or you have the worst part, which is, you have one side comes up with a really good idea, right? And it's a good idea for the people, for the country. But then the other side says, well, yeah, that's a good idea, but we can't back it because that's their idea. So let's tweak that idea a little bit and make it ours. And then they come up with it. It's the same shit, just a different color. And then all of a sudden, the other side says, well, no, because, you know, it's a different shade. So let's tweak it again and make it this color. And then who gets screwed? Us, the people.
I heard something the other day that if you want to know a good policy was written, listen to both sides. And if they're both pissed off about what got passed and actually put into place, you know it was a good policy.
That's a good point. Really good. All right, guys. Well, that's it for today. That's it for this Friday. I hope you guys have an amazing weekend. Again, keep sharing, keep liking. Put any more comments or questions you have below. We're here every Friday morning at 9. If you have any deals or issues in real estate, or even in your business, put it, you know, let us know. Shoot us, if you can't attend live, shoot us an email beforehand and we'll make sure to address it. And yeah, thank you again for watching and we'll catch you guys next week.
Sorry. Get back to work.
Get back to work. All right.